From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues a series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
Psalm 97 and verse 10. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Thou hast good reason to hate evil, for only consider what harm it has already wrought thee. Oh, what a world of mischief sin has brought into thy heart! Sin blinded thee so that thou couldst not see the beauty of the Savior. It made thee deaf so that thou couldst not hear the Redeemer's tender invitations. Sin turned thy feet into the way of death, and poured poison into the very fountain of thy being. It tainted thy heart, and made it deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Oh, what a creature thou wast, when evil had done its utmost with thee, before divine grace interposed! Thou wast an heir of wrath, even as others. Thou didst run with the multitude to do evil. Such were all of us. But Paul reminds us, But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. We have good reason indeed for hating evil, when we look back and trace its deadly workings. Such mischief did evil do us, that our souls would have been lost had not omnipotent love interfered to redeem us. Even now it is an active enemy, ever watching to do us hurt and drag us to perdition. Therefore hate evil, O Christians, unless you desire trouble. If you would strew your path with thorns and plant nettles in your death pillow, then neglect to hate evil. But if you would live a happy life and die a peaceful death, then walk in all the ways of holiness, hating evil even unto the end. If you truly love your Savior and would honor Him, then hate evil. We know of no cure for the love of evil in a Christian like abundant intercourse with the Lord Jesus. Dwell much with Him, and it is impossible for you to be at peace with sin. Order my footsteps by Thy word, and make my heart sincere. Let sin have no dominion, Lord, but keep my conscience clear.
Oh,
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues to study Paul's epistle to the Colossians as he opens the second half of a message entitled, Wonderful Redemption. The text is chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So far, Dr. Cairns has dealt with the essence of redemption as well as the elements of it. Redemption involves a recovery of something by purchase. In this case, it is the souls of sinners whom Christ has redeemed by his sacrifice on the cross. The elements of redemption include freedom from sin's bondage, complete forgiveness, the fullness of Christ, and the guarantee of a future with him in heaven. In opening this second part of a two-part message, Dr. Cairns emphasizes that our salvation is a present possession. If we are in Christ, we are saved now, and we know it. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Colossians chapter 1. We're going to read a brief portion. We're going to commence at verse 9 and read to the end of verse 14. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word for his name's sake. If you were here this morning, you know that tonight we are coming to part two of a message on Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. The subject for today, quite simply, is wonderful redemption. And I summarized the overall message of this text this morning by saying that it teaches that God's people have redemption and remission of sins by virtue of Christ's person and by the merits of Christ's precious blood. That's the teaching of the text. I want to repeat something just to put everybody in the picture. That though this is such a brief text, the message is absolutely immense. That the message of redemption is the heartbeat of the entirety of Scripture. That this is the theme that integrates all the various parts of Scripture. God's purpose of redemption is the central purpose revealed in the Bible. As Presbyterians, we believe, I'll go even more radical than that and say, as Bible believers, we believe. Now, there are some Bible believers who haven't yet graduated to understanding this. They'd either get educated here or glorified and see it in heaven. But as Presbyterian Bible believers, we believe that the unfolding drama of Scripture is the unfolding drama of redemption. That it is the unfolding of the covenant of redemption that God laid down with Christ from the countless ages of eternity. So that when we read in Christ we have redemption, we are getting to something so important, so vast, that it lies at the very heart of Christianity. Now, this morning we looked at the essence of redemption, and there we took a quick excursion through the Old Testament and the fundamental meaning that's incorporated within the term, because this is an Old Testament teaching that is brought into the New Testament, and it's certainly enlarged and it's expounded in the New Testament, but you cannot divorce the New Testament teaching from the Old, and it would be a mistake simply to concentrate on the Greek terms that are used in the New Testament as if they were not meant to be an exposition of what's laid forth in the Old Testament. So looking at that cargo of ideas from the Old Testament, I pointed out the essence of redemption. It is a redemption of people out of slavery. It is a redemption of property. That is, it is the recovery of a lost or a forfeited inheritance. Then from that we drew the four elements in redemption. There's the element of freedom. Freedom from the guilt and curse and condemnation and dominion of sin. Then there's the element of forgiveness. There is the release of our sins, where God has let them go and removed them from us. Then there is the thought of fullness. When He brings us out of slavery, there is a mighty work of restoration into the fullness. We were reading this tonight. Paul's desire that they might live filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? Because fullness belongs to the redeemed. And then there is the idea of our future. There is in redemption a pledge of a glorious security for time and for eternity. Now, those are the elements. Now we come to some of the actual wording of the text. And we will come first to think of the experience of redemption. In whom, that is in Christ, in the Son of God's love, we have redemption. Obviously, this is a statement that brings us out of the realm of mere theology. To understand the proper dictionary meaning of the word mere, it is not to make little of theology. It's the same idea. I don't often quote C.S. Lewis. He was not an evangelical. He was not a Bible believer. And I can't understand the love affair that Bible believers have with a man who denigrated some of the most precious things of our faith. But I'm not going to get into that tonight. That's just a sideswipe. I'm very tempted, mind you. But when he wrote the book Mere Christianity, the word mere has the idea of pure Christianity, fundamental Christianity, getting to essential truth. And I'm using the term mere theology in a similar fashion. But this lets us out of mere theology into the realm of theology applied, where we come into our own experience. Now here we've got to stop at the very threshold. And we've got to say this, that no matter how pure your system of belief, no matter how biblical your theology, no matter how precise you are in adhering to the terminology and the teaching of Scripture, unless it is by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit brought into your life as a vital experience, it has no saving power. Let's understand that. Some people object to the expression dead orthodoxy. Orthodoxy is wonderful. The only alternative to orthodoxy is heterodoxy. Why would anybody want to be a heretic? I have the greatest esteem for Christian orthodoxy. I detest innovation in the realm of biblical teaching. There is no room for human ingenuity, human inventiveness when it comes to Bible doctrine. We are orthodox. By the grace of God, that's where we're going to stay. But nonetheless, the term dead orthodoxy is one that we should pay attention to, because it is possible to fall in love with a system without a corresponding experience of the Savior. It's very interesting when you read church history to see how this plays out. The greatest opponents of the evangelical Presbyterians in the Church of Scotland were people who were called moderates. You must not import into the term as it was used of them all that that term connotes today. These moderates were people who in many, many cases could tick off all the points of orthodoxy. But they opposed a vital experience of saving grace. We have redemption, says Paul. We're talking now about the application and the enjoyment of the merits and power, the vital reality of the work of Jesus Christ to our hearts in a way that causes us to know it and live in the joy thereof. We have redemption. You immediately will see that this is a present possession. We have it. Let me emphasize that. The Lord says, and we read this morning in Isaiah 43, "Fear not, I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee." We have been redeemed. This is something that has happened. The results of it are ongoing. Our knowledge of it, our enjoyment of it should be increasing. But the truth is, our redemption is an accomplished redemption, and it's a present possession for the people of God. And we know it. Now this gets into an area that I am really only going to touch on because it would take me much too far afield. And that is the area of assurance. People who can say, "We have redemption," are saying, "We're saved and we know it. We know it. We have redemption. There is a certainty about this. There is an assurance about this. We have this. We possess this here and now." This is not something that we're leaving up to the judgment day to find out, are we going to heaven or are we going to hell? No, no. Paul says, we have this redemption. Remember what he's talking about, this freedom from the guilt and the curse and the condemnation and the dominion of sin. We have that. This forgiveness of all our sins, we have that. This fullness that is rightly ours in Christ, we have that. This future, seems strange to talk about as having a future, but you know what that means. While it's still ahead of us, yet we possess it. It's pledged to us. You remember the great promise of Jeremiah 29:11. "I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end," our authorized version says. To give you an end and an expectation, it may be translated. Or, more popularly, to give you an assured future.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org.
That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.